got 9 minutes in last week and realized I didn't turn it on.
I'd like to be able to hear the recording of that vocal.
Okay. Galatians chapter 3, we've studied down now through verse 21. And last Sunday, somebody asked me to kind of put together a drawing or some sort of visual to help us understand what was going on in Galatians chapter 3. And this is the best I came up with. I've been thinking about it still since last Sunday, and I still can't really think of a better way to do it at this point. But we've been talking about, you know, the promise that God is, as Paul is discussing here. Let's start at verse 19. Let's read down through, and then we'll pick it up at verse 22. Verse 19, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made." Now, we already know that the seed was who? Christ. Okay, so we know from verse 19 why the law was given. The law was given because of what? Transgressions, right? We know that the law also was only temporary, right? That it was given till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. We know that the promise, the seed, if you go back up to verse 16, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, and he saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, into thy seed which is Christ." So we know that the law is temporary, we know that it was given because of transgression, and we know that it was given till the seed should come to whom the promise was made there in verse 19, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. We talked about how angels, according to the scriptures, somehow mediate the law to the nation of Israel. Verse 20, "Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law." So we went down through those verses last Sunday, and then today we're going to pick it up in verse 22. What's the first word of verse 22?
But.
So is he contrasting something now? Okay, he said at the end of verse 21 that if righteousness should have been by the law, I'm sorry, let me back up. "For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law." So obviously, can the law give life?
No.
If the law could have given life, would the seed have need to come, and would Christ have need to suffer, and so on and so forth? Okay? So then it says in verse 22, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin." What's the next word?
That.
The purpose and the intent. Why has the Scripture concluded all under sin? That the promise by faith of Christ, by faith of Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. Now there's a few things that I want to point out about verse 22. If you look at it, it says, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin." Could you also say that God hath concluded all under sin? Okay? Remember what we looked at, go back to verse 8. Remember when we were looking at verse 8, I said to you, and we've been making this point also in the main Sunday morning messages of late, dealing with the Word of God, verse 8, "And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith." You remember when I talked to you about how God attributes His own attributes to His Word? Here we have another example in verse 22 where Paul says that the Scripture hath concluded all what? Under sin. So, it's very similar to the phrase in verse 8. So, we see again that God attributes His own attributes to His Word. And things God is able to do or does are spoken of in the Word of God as being accomplished also by the Scripture. So, again, to me this is just further proof of the idea that we've been discussing in the Sunday morning messages, that God's design and inspiration was to make the living and the written Word equal. Okay, so he says that the Scripture hath concluded them all under sin. So, righteousness in verse 21, the law cannot bring righteousness. Okay, if it could have given life, all right, then righteousness should have come by the law, he says in the end of verse 19. Verse 21. Then he says in verse 22, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin." Now, the Scripture's concluding all under sin, does that match what verse 19 says about why the law was given? Look at verse 19 again. "Wherefore serveth the law? It was added because of what?" Now we've been over this a lot, right? That the purpose of the law was to manifest sin, right? It was given because of transgression. Hold your hand there and just come with me once again to Romans 3. We've looked at this passage a lot, but It's not going to hurt to read it one more time. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. He says, Paul says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore," so on the basis of that, "therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Verse 23, "For all have what? Sinned." Alright, now we're going to hold your hand here because we're going to come back here in a few minutes to Romans chapter 3. But go back to Galatians. You see how it says there in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 3? It says, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin." That word "concluded" basically means to shut together. Okay? Hold your hand there and come with me to Luke chapter 5, verse 6. I want to just look at this word for a minute with you. I want to look at what this means when it says "concluded." Okay, the same Greek word that's translated there, "concluded," is translated in Luke chapter 5, verse 6. And look at what it says. It says, "And when they had done this," notice, "they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." You see that word there in verse 6 that says "enclosed"? That's the same word that's over there, "concluded." So, when it says there, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin," another way of saying that is that the Scripture hath what? It's enclosed them. The law, it encloses them and holds them captive, if you will, in their sin. Okay? It sort of wraps around them and envelops them. Come with me to Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 23. You see the same concept. The word shows up again in verse 23, the next verse. Look at Galatians 3, verse 23. It says, "But before faith came," notice, "we were kept under the law." Then look at the next two words, "shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed." So, to be enclosed, to be shut up, to conclude, are all sort of talking about the same thing. The law concludes them in all under sin because they are enclosed, they are shut up, they are held and enveloped and encircled in their what? In their sin. Okay? Because that's what the law does. All it does, according to Romans chapter 3, is it manifests sin. It makes people aware of their sin. We've also discussed many times in this study the passages of 1 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul says that we know the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. We talk about the lawful and the unlawful use of the law today for members of the church, the body of Christ. Now, look again at Galatians chapter 3 now, verse 22. "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin." Okay? Why? Why has the Scripture concluded all under sin, according to the verse? "But the promise," how? "By faith of who?" Jesus Christ. "Might be given to them that what?" Believe. So the idea here, in the first part of the verse, the idea is that the Mosaic Law completely enclosed all of those who were under it in a sphere of guilt. Alright? The purpose of this, in the context, was to force recognition of the fact that they were disobedient sinners before God. Alright? So then he says, in the second part of the verse, that the promise by, notice, faith of who? So we see here again this issue of the faith of who? Christ. Alright? So he says that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given. So, is this earned or is it freely given? It's freely given. That it might be given to them that what? Believe. So you see again in that verse that you have our faith and you have whose faith? The faith of Christ, right? You see that when it says, "by faith of who?" Jesus Christ. "Might be given to them that what?" Believe. That's our faith, right? So you have the faithfulness of Christ there, and you also have our faith in Him. And we've made the point at least two or three other times as we've gone through this book, the difference between I read to you a lengthy thing from Pastor Stamm's commentary on the book of Galatians, talking about the difference between subjective and objective faith. All right, there's the faith which belongs to Christ, that belongs to Him and His worthiness and faithfulness to be believed, and then there's our faith that rests in Him. All right, so
that's a star verse. Isn't that a wonderful verse?
That's a great verse. Because not only does that verse say, it says that the promise, not only does the verse say that you're under sin, but then it goes beyond that and it says that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given, freely given, okay, to them that believe. So all you and I have to do is what?
Believe.
Now we believe what Christ did, alright? But it's not just, there's an element here where Christ's faith that Christ had did certain things. We've been over that before. Okay. Now, since Jesus is the seed to whom the promise was made, go back to verse 16 again. Now to Abraham and to his seed where the promise was made, he saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. So verse 16 tells us, okay, that the promise is going to come through who?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. Okay? We've been over that too. And the law is temporary. Verse 19 tells us that the law was temporary, right? Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. Till what?
The seed
should come. Well, again, who's the seed?
Christ.
The seed is Christ in verse 16, right? So we know that since Christ is the seed to whom the promise was made, and it's going to be fulfilled in Him, okay, and the law was temporary until the seed should come, then the spiritual blessings of the Abrahamic covenant come to us through both the faithfulness of Christ, according to verse 22, and our faith in who? In Him. Okay? So the ability for anyone to inherit salvation in any age or in any dispensation is all ultimately going to depend upon who? Jesus Christ. Now come with me back to Romans chapter 3. So do people in time past under the law believe that Christ died on the cross for the sins, was buried, rose again as the only payment for their sin? Is that what they believe? No. We've been over this too, right? They believed what God told them to believe. Okay? Faith is doing what God tells you to do. One of the things about Paul's gospel and message and the revelation of the mystery to the Apostle Paul is Paul tells us some things about how even the saints in time past are ultimately going to be justified. Alright? All the blood sacrifices, all the animals that were killed, all of those things that happened back there for Israel under the law, did it ever take away their sin?
No.
No. Okay? Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Says, whom God set forth to be a propitiation. If you're not aware of the definition of propitiation, it means totally satisfying sacrifice. Okay? So, whom God set forth to be a propitiation, and if you go to the previous verse, who's the propitiation?
Jesus Christ.
To the redemption that is in who?
Christ Jesus.
Whom God, in other words, Christ, God set Christ forth to be what? A propitiation through faith in His blood to declare, notice, His righteousness for the remission of sins that are what? Past through the forbearance of who? In other words, did God in His foreknowledge know that Christ, that Christ was going to come and be the main deal here?
Yeah.
Okay? So, in the Old Testament, in time past, He forbears with a system of animal sacrifices, knowing that who is going to come and be the propitiation? Christ. Now, does anyone in time past know that?
No.
Does anyone in time past believe that?
No.
Look at the reaction, folks, of the apostles during Christ's earthly ministry when He tells them He's got to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die at the hands of the leadership of the nation of Israel. And Peter says what?
Be
it far from me. No, that's not going to happen. Okay? We went over that a couple in December when I preached that message about the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Remember that? And we talked about how they didn't understand the timing of how these things fit together. Now, but who is through the revelation given to the Apostle Paul, are we also learning things about how God is going to accomplish some things in time past? Or how He's going to accomplish things that He didn't make known in time past? Aren't we learning in Galatians chapter 3 how God did something with the justification of Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 so that you and I can be saved through faith over here? Okay? So, there's a lot of things that are going on here. Come back with me to Galatians chapter 3.
Psalm 22 talks about the crucifixion of Abraham. They didn't know in particular, but they should have known that there was going to come a suffering servant.
Should have known, and
was it revealed? Though. It was revealed.
It was. There were aspects of it that were revealed. The full meaning is not.
Right. So David, when he saw the future, or prophetic of the future. He did not understand that.
No one back here believes that Christ died on the cross for their sin and that His shed blood paid for their sin. No one back there believes that. Because that is not made known, is it?
The glory of the promise.
Everything that the cross accomplishes is made known by who? Paul. Right? I mean, think about 1 Corinthians, right? Had they known it, they would not have what?
Crucified
the Lord of glory. So the think about Colossians chapter 2, right? Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them what? In it. It's referring to the cross in the previous verse. Okay? So everything that's going on here is fully made known where? Now don't misunderstand me. Is this predicted?
Yes.
Yes. But is the full meaning of what was accomplished here explained?
No.
No, it's not explained till who? Till Paul. So, I have a little thing I wanted to read to you out of Ernest Campbell's commentary on Galatians chapter 3. But before I read it, does anyone have any questions about that verse there, verse 22? All right, this is what he says. He says, thus we see that the basic purpose of the Mosaic Law was not to produce life and righteousness in those under it, but to shut them up unto a consciousness of sin in order that the faithfulness of Jesus Christ might be the basis for giving the Abrahamic promise. The promise made to Abraham involved counting faith for righteousness, Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, the fact that the Gentiles would be blessed with him on a faith basis, Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, and this was to be accomplished through the faithful seed, Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 19. In literally following what the Scripture says here, we have two distinct thoughts. Number one, that the source, the basis for the giving of the promise was the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. So it's all based on whose faithfulness? It's by the faith of who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Okay? So The basis for the giving of the promise was the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the summation of which is His obedience unto the death of the cross, Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And second, the promise is given to a specific group of people, namely those believing, or all them who believe, to those identified with the seed, Jesus Christ, through faith. Okay? The substitutionary death of the faithful person of Jesus Christ is the source of our justification. Exercising our God-given faith in Jesus Christ is the means by which we are justified and made partakers of the Abrahamic promise. I quite frankly, can't say it any better myself, I don't think, than what he just said. Because he says that the source of this is the faithfulness of who?
Christ.
Okay? Who is the faithful seed of who? Abraham, and everybody who's going to get blessed, whether it be the body of Christ or whether it be the nation of Israel, there is no blessing outside of who? Christ. Come back now to Galatians chapter 3. Now, what's the first word of this verse? But, again, so if you look at, let's read verse 22 and then verse 23. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So, one more thing about verse 22. The promise is how? By faith of who? So did God know that this one seed, Christ, was going to be the one to accomplish the, and execute the promise?
Yes.
Okay. Now, verse 23. But before faith came, okay, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Now, I want to... There's a thing here. You'll notice that Paul uses the word we in verse 23. Okay, now come, hold your hand there and come with me. I thought I wrote this down. Come with me back to chapter